Heyo, welcome in. Latest episode of that SEC podcast. Last one live from Tampa. We're closing out media days, and it's deathly quiet up here. The only noise you're going to hear is people packing up.
That's right. They are breaking down the sets as we speak. Day four is in the books. Media day is complete. And I tell you, brother, it was a whirlwind. A whirlwind. We had so much to cover, so much to get into. But before we do that, because we wouldn't be here if it weren't for one glorious location. That's Tennessee Legend Distillery. Be sure to swing in there. If you are in the Smoky Mountains, they got two locations in the Sevierville locations, and they also got one in Nashville. Sure to swing in. Let them know the cousin sent you. Not only will you get a discount, but you will get a bonus gift. And fun fact, they got the paint sip tonight, little jelly that I'm not over there doing that, but the wife is heading there with four of her crazy friends, and I tell Mike before they got, like, I hope they just burn all that energy off before I get home, but it's always a fun time. Brian sent me over a photo of some of the mixed drinks they're going to have there, so great times over at Tennessee Legend, and if you do pop in, let them know that you know Cousin Shane and Cousin Mike.
RCL, Shane, he says, Shane did not need to use the fire extinguisher. It's a win-win.
Yeah, it was. Well, it's not over yet, right? No, I thought so. I thought so. There was a lot of heat coming in. The Texas Longhorns, actually Lane Kiffin, initially, I thought we were going to have to use it on Mike up there asking his questions, but it was a hell of a day.
I got the clip. Should I play it?
Why wouldn't you? Yeah, let's hear it. Mike had a question for him.
The only clip we got, it was kind of hard. We have a third leg to the tripod. He bounced on us, so it was just us flying solo, so it was hard to pay attention to anything. But and then Lane Kiffin, he spoke for about 20-some-odd minutes to just eat up time, so he didn't have to answer any questions, and I knew that's what he was doing. And I had an opportunity to ask him, I think, a fair, tough question, and here's his bullshit response.
Hey, Coach, Michael Bratton from That SEC Podcast. When you were at Ole Miss, you led them to the third most wins in the conference since 22. You had 10 players drafted or signed as free agents in the 25 draft, 8 players drafted or signed as free agents in the 26 class. You had a top 4 portal class each of the last 3 portal cycles you were there. Jackson Dart, first-round pick, yet in a Vanity Fair article, you said Oxford diversity hurt you in talent acquisition. So is it your belief that if there was a little bit more diversity, all those numbers I cited could have been even better?
I had a feeling that was going somewhere. You were doing, like, really positive stuff the whole way through. I'm like, man, this guy's good. It sounds like you should go work for Jimmy Sexton, man. You're, like, going a good direction there. You know, I made a challenging decision in change. And I think as I look back to that, I thought I could find a way for everybody to understand. And now as I look back later on, that was never going to happen. And I made a decision that I changed jobs. And as I get older and I go through things and losing both parents, I was actually talking to Ross Dellinger, and I kind of said something that might sound kind of funny to you, but you know, I watched the Hulk Hogan special, and I realized, and I was like, we're all going to die. And so some of the things that we put importance on, we worry about, and what this person says and that, like, really aren't going to matter. And when I lost my dad, I started thinking that, and I really started thinking, when I grew up, there were two people that I thought just wouldn't die. My dad and Hulk Hogan. And then I watched that special and really, like, Hulk Hogan died too. Like, there's no way Hulk Hogan was ever going to not wrestle and die. And he did. And so it just made me reflect really on, like, I can't be so concerned about little things and what people say and this. And you got to make decisions. You got to go with them. And you do things and you make really good decisions and you make poor decisions. And that was a poor usage of a term that I believe, just like many coaches that have been there for, was factual. But over the course of a long interview, was bad timing and bad usage of the word. So it is what it is. I apologize when I said it. And moving on.
Got time for two more. We'll start here.
Mm. Oh, okay. Why'd you call Miss Racist? Mm. We're all gonna die.
Yeah, that was a panicked response, Mike. That's exactly what that is. I guarantee Elaine was not quite ready for that one. Maybe in a small room. Maybe that's why he's going to avoid Radio Row, so he didn't have to answer questions like that. I mean, think about it. Lane Kiffin only got four questions.
I think three.
Yeah, maybe, but it felt like
and that was number two.
So I'm just saying that they kind of hit him. Here's the thing, man. Lane Kiffin comes out and gives us this whole spiel about his son telling him he can't get on social media. If everybody's wondering why he's not on Twitter, if you think that his son is the reason that he is not on Twitter, then I have got a oceanfront property in Arizona to sell you. All right. No, there is somebody higher above him, and it may be Sankey, it may be the AD, it may be someone that is telling, hell, he mentioned Sexton. It could be him saying, get the hell off Twitter. Don't say anything. So I guarantee he's keeping an eye on things. But to sit here and think that he's turned over a new leaf and he's avoiding social media because he's done with it, that's crazy talk. But then something like this, it was a quick diversion. I have kids, so, you know, well he did this. Well, she did that. You know, it's kind of, well, Hulk Hogan died, you know. And I'm like, what are we talking about here? You said some words. You didn't put anything behind it. And Backbone Mike, you know, actually asked the question. So, and I will say this, at the end of the day, that is the past, right? You know, mm-hmm. I mean, don't get me wrong. We've got tons of videos you could dig through and you can find a lot of stupid shit I've said as well.
Yep.
So I'm not defending Lane, but what I am saying is that LSU was the talk all week with Texas, and both those teams showed up this week, and they did not disappoint today.
Hey, shout out to Cousin Tim. He said, did you all know Hulk Hogan died? I would have sent Lane flowers had I been aware. That was like listening to paint dry. You heard that? Paint dry.
You know what it reminded me of? I don't know if you've seen that viral clip going around Harbaugh up there in the Giants. So he's basically addressing the football team, and if you've got, you know, 90 seconds that you just want to get out of a room, watch that one. It felt eerily similar to that response that he gave you.
Yeah. Well, shout out to, so again, it was LSU day, so obviously that's why Kiffin was here. And we had just heard, Shane, on the Paul Feinbaum show, according to Matt Moscona, who covers LSU really well, he said, everybody's heard the $40 million roster.
Yeah.
He says it's closer to 50.
Damn, 50.
And he says it may be, I don't remember exactly what he said, but he said he said they were trying to get 25, and he says they doubled it. So that's 50 to me.
Well, and what's crazy about that is we give, or we have been, and we will continue to give Sarkisian a lot of stress and heartache and pressure down there in Austin because of a $40 million roster. You know what I'm saying? And now you've got Lane Kiffin spending 10 more. You know, we've talked about it before about coaches that are coming into the season under pressure, and, you know, and it's not just hot seat talk anymore. We're not talking Beamer, or we're not talking, you know, the other guy that was here today. You know, I feel like this is going to be a little bit of a pressure cooker down there in LSU. And if you lose two games early, which is extremely possible,
right?
I feel like, boy, that media room is going to be fired up real quick.
And I don't know if you caught this because, again, it was so boring, his opening statement, which was like 20-some-odd minutes. But he kind of continued the narrative of all offseason, like tampering expectations. Now, he didn't say, like, we're going to be sucky or anything, but it just – I can't remember exactly what he said, but he did note the expectations, this, that, and the other. Now – I don't think you can say that when you got a $50 million roster. I think that's clear. Mm-hmm. And also, I wonder if, you know, a lot of people say, can this continue? I wonder if people are throwing so much money because they think at some point in a year or two, they'll put a cap on all this. And I don't know if they will be, because I don't know if they'll legally be allowed to cap it.
Yeah.
But if they believe that's coming, it's almost like,
get it while you can.
Yeah. That's kind of the sense I get. How about you?
Well, we've seen it, you know, when we started taking this money from Disney, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
They had that kind of free year deal. I mean, all teams in the SEC tried to take advantage of it. So, absolutely. I mean, look at Texas Tech. You know, if you could buy a team right now, it's the time to do it. And I feel like there's a few programs out in this country, not just the SEC, Indiana, you know, Oregon, teams like this, that I feel like there's an expiration date. And it's important because one thing that Lane Kiffin did say in his conference that really stood out to me when he was talking about, was it Jamarcus Russell? You know, he took there at for the Raiders,
right,
and had to give them all this money because that's the way at the time you had to.
Right.
And it's eerily similar to what it is now. You see DGG signing for Tennessee, multi-million-dollar contract. What does that look like for Bishop? You know, what does that look like for that running back room when they're saying, wait, the guy's not even took one snap, but he's making this money? So I would imagine that this is something that, you are correct, they're trying to get why they can, but ultimately, it's going to end in a huge change.
You know who is giving while they can?
Who's that?
P5. Give us 50 bucks.
Golly!
P5! SEC Bike, Cousin Shade, you guys rock. Thank you for all the hard work. I appreciate you both. Regarding Lane's answer to Mike's question, if I ever relate my father's passing to Hulk Hogan, shoot me. Strange.
Yeah. No, that was so weird. I did not... I mean, I couldn't have seen it to come that way. But, you know, everybody taking these quotes and sending them out has been worth it.
Mm-hmm. All right. How about Mighty Takes, Shane? Sarkisian, Arch. I mean, what a way to cap this event. Anything stand out to you with the Longhorns little coming through eggs. Here?
Look at them quitting early. They almost made it to the end. Unintended. All right. What were you saying? I'm sorry.
Just Texas. Anything stand out to you? Arch Manning, Sarkisian. That it was almost like their presence was felt throughout the whole event.
You know, they never came over here. You know,
they don't give us a time. No. You know, they're over there with Bobby.
No players. Omar. I didn't see any players. I didn't even see. I mean, Kirby Smart.
You didn't see Arch over there?
Well, the big table, ESPN.
Oh, no. He was right over there. He's right next to us.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. No, I didn't
during
see
one
that.
Of the interviews.
I must have been eating. Was it lunchtime?
No.
No, I'm joking. I don't know. I didn't see him. I didn't see him, and he was right here, so I must have been doing some real work. And then over there beside us, you know, I keep thinking of Kirby Smart. I saw him multiple tables out here, you know. He did. So, I don't know. Texas did their Texas thing, but Texas can't lose. Actually, Texas can't win media days, in my opinion, but they could have lost it, and they didn't. So they did exactly what they needed to do. Come in here. Don't make any false promises or anything like that. The pressure's already on that crew. And now it's just time to put up or shut up for the Longhorns.
Yeah. All right. And it was also Mississippi State Day, of course. Mm-hmm. And you want to take – you want to say someone came and went without a sign.
Yeah.
Did you know it was Mississippi State Day?
There was a couple other teams there.
We're locked down on the table. We did 10 more interviews today, so that's why it was quiet for us. But it was relatively quiet for me for Mississippi State. Anything stand out there?
Nothing today, right? I did feel like, you know, Mississippi State is one of those I felt a little bit better toward the start of the week. And anyone I talk to, the problem is there's not a great representation of that team at this event. You know, you go up and down. I mean, I think I've seen 7 Oklahoma booths, you know, 4 or 5 Texas A&M booths. There's not one Mississippi State here. Not one. Mike?
Well, there was one. I don't think you know the guy.
Who's that? Oh, I didn't know. Maybe we should have had him over.
Yeah.
Sorry if I missed you, brother. I didn't mean it.
Legitimately,
it's funny. I learned more about Mississippi State from Ole Miss because there wasn't a couple Ole Miss guys that came over.
Oh wait, no, I correct that. There was 2, and I met one of them today. I probably should have.
Damn,
probably should have had him on.
My bad. That's on him, executive producer here. Because when I see WKGB on there, I have no idea what channel that is.
How about Arkansas? who our buddy John Neighbors,
yeah,
who Shane likes to reference every time we talk Arkansas, he said they were the, I think he said something like the most boring or so, like he, yeah, like he, I couldn't believe he used the adjective, but basically like the least amount of noise.
Mm-hmm.
I liked what I heard from old Silverfield here. He was trolling Summerall.
Yeah.
He came in here talking big. Everyone that I ran into that had an interaction with him was very impressed.
Mm-hmm.
We got to interview Quincy Rhodes, our outstanding defensive lineman. I would say he's the best player interview we've literally ever had at SEC. Yeah. That's no disrespect to anybody else, but it was a hell of an interview. The Razorbacks, man, we might be sleeping on them.
Xavier Rhodes broke my hand when we shook hands. Very strong, massive individual. Yeah. And when he's telling the story, and I won't give it away because it was a painful story, I'll let you guess what game he's talking about. But it was by far one of the, like you said, the best, if not close to it, interview that we've ever done with a player. So look forward to that. And Silver Fox, actually, I'm going to say his name right, Silverfield. He deserves it because he killed it today. I talked to a lot of guys that had him over to their table, and they said, hey, out of all the coaches, by far the most impressed was Silverfield, which is impressive to me. So won the podium, won the media days, still has an uphill battle. We know that. But I do feel like Arkansas's in good hands.
Would you say at the end of the day you were a little bit more impressed with Arkansas exiting media
days? Today Texas stayed neutral. LSU dropped a notch. Mississippi State neutral, and then I moved Arkansas up.
Did you drop them a spot because you heard they make it even more money?
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
You know what's not crazy?
What's that?
Way showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa.
Roll Tide.
It's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
Shout up, Steven Up. At the end of the day, it's that SEC podcast and nobody else.
Hell yeah.
And I don't want to ruin, oh man, we got some good Alabama stuff. Today,
yeah,
especially today, multiple interviews.
Mm-hmm.
But Steven Up,
you're not gonna like him.
He may need to. He may need his earmuffs. People are gonna think I paid these people to make these comments. You know what?
There are some, and some close to the source, right?
Yes.
This isn't an Auburn guy coming over. This isn't a Tennessee lady telling me, no, this is some dudes that not only close, but within those facilities. And I did, you know how I've been telling you about my rankings fluid? Boy, I tell you what, there's one team, and it's the Alabama Tide that has moved the most on this list this week.
Oh, it's almost like, it was like when I put up Oklahoma High the other day, you were like, what changed your mind? I'm like, dude, look at the power rankings since February. I've been pretty high on them. Now he's like, Alabama, I don't know. I'm losing stock. Same thing. I've been trying to tell you, but it takes you a little while to get there.
It's not that I don't like Alabama. It's just the question marks that I was hoping to get answered here, I'm not. Yeah. And some of the things that I was like solid with, I have a little insecurities about. So it's just not a comfortable situation. And we had Damian Harris on.
Yep.
And dude, this guy's great. I loved him. And he really, boy,
I'm considering replacing you with Damian Harris.
I don't blame you. Your ratings will go through the roof. Absolutely. And
you're probably doing the same.
Yeah, I've already texted him twice. I'm on red right now.
Hey, shout out to Stringer Films. They placed the hottest podcast next to the fire extinguisher.
I don't think so, man. I don't think so. Oh, I love it.
All right, so
I've always wanted to like spray one of those. Have you ever done that?
I have not.
Oh, I pulled a fire alarm once. They were like testing them, and I said, can I, you're going to do it. You do it all the time. I've always wanted to do it. I'm 40-something years old. He said, go ahead, big guy. That's what he said. Firefighter, full gear. Go ahead, big guy. And that's exactly what I did. It was awesome.
Hey, shout out to some questions for you, Shane.
Yeah.
Our buddy Kyle Lovingood, one of the most loyal cousins in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Did they have good food for the last day at media day?
Great question. I thought this was, as far as media day food,
I thought it was the best by far.
Oh, no. Yesterday was better. this was second. Close, right? I think the soup was fantastic, and I'm not a big soup guy.
Why didn't you get the soup?
Yeah, you would have really liked it because it was healthy. There was a whole bunch of healthy stuff in there. And by healthy stuff, I mean vegetables.
Well, how'd you like it then?
I put enough of them little crunchy tortillas on there to not have the texture. It was good. They had little taco deals, and yeah, I thought it was very good.
All right, so I think you've kind of just been delaying, though.
Yeah.
You've been BSing. Mm-hmm. I think it's time for you to reveal your SEC Media Days ballot.
Yes. And you know me. I'm not big on lists because lists come back. But when you do these Media Day ballots, they give you a list and you go through it. And it's a whole bunch of stuff. Players, you know, position groups, things like that. But ultimately, you're going through the wins, losses in the SEC. And I think you realize just how tough this season's going to be when you're trying. Because I feel like this rankings is going to come down to some of these as individual matchups. So you may hear one team over another, and that's just because I had to pick somebody to win that game that they play in. So
let's go through this slow one by one, and then I'll throw each schedule up as you go over the team, and you kind of go through your thought process, if that work.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to start from 16. From the bottom,
Tennessee.
Even though we were very impressed with the old Silver Fox.
Oh, no. Impressed. Now they're 16. What?
Just because you're good at the mic.
You said you were higher on them. What does that mean? They were 17 before?
No, that they may hit the over, you know. I wouldn't rule a bowl game out. This is a team that I feel like could probably catch heat later in the season, but I'm a little torn on Arkansas. I mean, somebody has to be here. There has to be a team 16, and odds are
most likely SEC wins. Georgia at home, obviously not that one. At A&M, Tennessee, at Vanderbilt, mm-hmm. Missouri at home, at Auburn, South Carolina at home, at Texas, LSU at home. What are you thinking? Most likely, and let's give them at least two, most likely SEC wins for them, Arkansas Razorbacks.
If we're saying most likely, I would probably go Mizzou October 31st after a bye, Halloween, rivalry. And I'd probably say, I had to pick one. Are you just saying home games only?
I'm saying SEC wins. I don't care if it's damn the Georgia Bulldogs.
No.
What games they can win.
All right. So the winnable games, Auburn Tigers, Vanderbilt Commodores, Mizzou, and that's it. That's all your winnable games.
Yeah. And I'm not even asking you to, you know, are they going to win it? I'm just saying winnable.
Winnable. Yes. Winnable games. Now, again, I would love nothing more than for them to get out of the month of September with at least three wins, right? That Utah one's the biggest one. That's literally the only Arkansas game I'm looking forward to. Right now. But that changes, right? You go out to Utah, you beat the shit out of them, then all of a sudden, you know, Texas A&M gets a little more interesting. And you look at Arkansas, you know, a lot of close games last year, and I know it's a brand-new team, but, you know, you got a ball-time coach. I at least what I hear, you know, I feel like in those close – you know, one possession games, maybe you can find one.
One more time, Shane.
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven Up.
Roll Tide.
Thank you, Steven Up. He gave us another $20, Shane. SEC Mike, I'm a fan of a podcast run by two Tennessee homers. Know about a hate will make me leave.
Roll Tide. Hell yeah. Well, listen, Steven Up's been here long enough to know that no matter where they are on this list, we're probably wrong. So Arkansas probably wins it all.
On Bama probably means they're going to win it all.
That's probably right. Right. And I mean,
so let's go 15. We've wasted so much time on Arkansas.
I'm sorry. 15 Auburn Tigers.
What?
Yeah. Everybody over here convinced me they got the damn next John Montana. Yeah. As far as quarterback, I'm not convinced that you could just bring the South Florida Bulls over here and win an SEC championship. I do think long-term, because we talked about this with a couple of guys, long-term, Golish could be your guy. It could be the best hire of the SEC. Not going to do it. I mean, they scrambled to fill up the portal. They were lucky to keep DJ. There's going to be some serious growing pains with the Auburn Tigers. Not a lot of SEC wins.
Shane, we're too deep.
Mm-hmm.
This is your worst pick of all of them.
Yeah. Well, that's my opinion. It's my list. You already did your list. Where'd you have them at? Doesn't matter. You're wrong.
I can't remember.
Number 14, Vanderbilt Commodores.
Okay, I can see it.
Yeah. They are going to really take a step back. They're going to sneak up and get somebody because it is a complicated offense. One thing that Coach Lee has really been doing good here lately is finding out who's talented and getting them the football. So they'll be that. I feel like there'll be a little bit of setback on the defense.
Do you think Vanderbilt makes a bowl game with Austin Peay, Delaware, and NC State as the non-conference all home?
Mm-hmm.
They got to win those. But again, this is SEC rankings or SEC projections, so we're really going off. You got to win SEC games.
Yeah.
So that would mean you got to win at least 3 out of 9 in the conference to make a bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
Does Vanderbilt, considering you got them 14th, do they make a bowl game, you think?
Yeah, because there's a grouping. It's not, you know, again, this isn't definitive. This is,
yeah.
I think they can beat, you know, Arkansas at home. I do think they can beat Mississippi State on the road if the stars are aligned. You know, so.
A lot of first-year coaches here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's why I got Vanderbilt there. So it's kind
of that's fair.
A little bit of a tier system. And I would also put this in the grouping. So this is kind of a tier one Kentucky Wildcats.
What?
Yeah, I know.
That's first-year Coach Stein.
I know.
We're going to win because of me, baby.
This one, I felt bad putting them at this spot. I really would like to put them higher.
Kyle, here we go. Shane hating on Vandy again.
Nobody beats Tennessee 2 years in a row, Mike. Kentucky, for me, it's just – you open up the season with Alabama and Texas A&M in the first three games, right?
Right.
So this is a team I would have loved to have seen get some of those growing pains out of the way. I feel like they're going to be behind the eight ball. They got a late bye week. So any mistakes made early in the season is kind of going to trickle over to the following game. So
I think that's fair.
Yeah. Them fine bomb boys are out. Sorry. We have tons of interviews. So, yeah, for me, Mike, it comes down to a couple one-on-one games here and the games that they need. I don't know, man. I feel like Kentucky got screwed on the scheduling.
Oh, yeah. So. I think this is the toughest schedule in the country.
Yeah, this is a doozy.
All right, so who you got next?
In front of them, I got Mississippi State. Now, Mississippi State, to be fair, 2 weeks ago, I had them sitting at the 15, 16 spot. This is a team that's moving up. Even though it doesn't look like it, we're into phase two or tier two, if you will. This is a program I'm more excited about. I love this quarterback. I love this wide receiver room. I think Lebby has told you the things he needs, but his back against the wall. The team's against the wall. This is a program that they're scheduling. If they can catch fire earlier, I was telling somebody about this.
ULM at home,
yeah.
At Minnesota, at Carolina, Missouri at home, all winnable.
Mm-hmm.
Bama at home, maybe not as much. At LSU, Oklahoma at home, at Texas.
That's Minnesota.
Yeah.
All right, on the road, you should. I hope you win that game. That's pivotal for you to have a successful season. Got to have that one because then that momentum may carry over to Columbia, may carry over to the other, or Columbia coming to you, or Mizzou coming to you. Alabama, which we're going to get to here in a second, may be a game that, you know, you're sitting there and Jeff Lebby has potential. Mississippi State really does have potential, Mike, to start the season 5-0. That changes everything. That means I was way wrong on this list. So this one is, you're going to find out in two games exactly who Mississippi State is.
Ooh.
All right, so above them, I got my Mizzou Tigers.
Ooh.
This may be the lowest I've ever put the Mizzou Tigers.
That's pretty low.
It is low, and it has absolutely nothing to do with drink not coming to my table. I promise you this.
I have a feeling, Shane. Of course, I feel like they would have reached out, but we were in the big room listening to Sankey.
Yeah.
No idea why you wanted to do that, but I think we may have just missed him. Because we're the group where, like, they don't really let us know we're getting somebody. Yeah. They're just like, oh, here's these guys.
Yeah, yeah,
we got 5 minutes of BS before we got to hit the plane.
That fat bastard. He's all right. He ain't going to say anything mean. No. Well, I'm saying something mean today. I didn't get a text. I didn't get a message. Nothing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I felt like, you know, felt like my girlfriend dumped me. But anyway, Mike, let's be fair. It's some of it, a little bit with Hardy. You know, I know the 5 to 8 week thing is – I've heard this before. As a Tennessee fan,
I think I'm like a Mizzou fan. We're like, I'm more optimistic now about Hardy. And I was like, dead set. I don't think he's playing much this year. Now I think he's playing.
I don't think you see him.
Well, they did bring Jamal Roberts.
Right.
Why would they bring him if they're not expecting him to have a big-time role?
So I'm thinking that it may be a little bit later. And, brother, dude, he's recovering. You know, is he going to just be able to jump back and – take 30 carries a game? And I'm not saying it's just Hardy. You're replacing the entire defense. And by God, man, this schedule.
Would this say you're not fully bought in on Austin Simmons, or is it not? Does that not have any effect?
Well, you made a good comment about one drive with Georgia, and you're right. And he lost the job to Trinidad Chambliss, which, again, Trinidad is a freaking athlete. He's a dude. He's my number one quarterback in the country right now. So I can't say that. But I do think potentials here, right? You know, when I get to Mizzou Tigers, I guess I circle it by who has the most potential. This team is the quickest one to rise. Uh-huh. Hardy's healthy. Defense doesn't take a step back like I think they're going to. And then, more importantly, the Austin Simmons, you know, transforms this offense.
Now, I agree with you. Yep. I'm just surprised you got him this low.
No, that's on you, Drink, not me. Number 10. Alabama Crimson Tide.
What?
Damn, this team's probably dropped six spots since I first put it on my list, Mike. And I'm going to be honest with you, if it weren't from reliable people telling me something feels off about this team, I wouldn't have done it. And, you know, I'm not saying that Alabama can't make a run.
Vol Tiger just said, Cousin Shane's never banging Big Mo now.
Oh, man. You know, I love Mizzou. I love everything that we did over there. I had a blast over there. But, you know, again, we're talking 9-game SEC schedule. There's going to be some coin toss games, and until I see some more from that offense, mainly, I can't put it. So let's go on. Alabama, uh-huh. This is the one that I hate that I'm putting this low. What we got here? We got a
bunch of singers over here.
Background music.
Yeah, let's just flow with it. Or yeah, probably won't get it. Hopefully, it doesn't get pulled off YouTube.
I get flagged on YouTube.
You're not allowed to be singing on YouTube, but it is what it is. You know?
Alabama, I just, tough schedule. And then so many question marks with the offensive line, question marks with the damn quarterback. There's just, I just don't know, man. I'm sorry, guys. I apologize if you hear that. But, all right.
I think G's finally found us or something.
Yeah, so for me, man, it's just this is like the biggest media day move, just because of people I've talked to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And I think I love it. I feel like you're finally listening to me, Shane.
Yeah, I know.
You're getting wiser.
I know. Sorry, Stephen. Up. This is another one. So you talk about movement. Well, if somebody's going down, somebody's got to come up. Give me Florida Gators here, sitting at the 9 spot. So we're sitting. This is about that 8-win. Area that we're starting to get into. I feel like an 8-win Florida Gator team would be excited with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, a couple of good breaks go their way, they may go even higher. This one, we had VB3 on the show, and we're talking about what John Summerall's bringing to the locker room, how he was able. He goes, dude, as soon as he picked up the phone and called me, it was like that. I knew that's the buy-in that this team's going to have. And they needed life put back into that program, a little excitement. I feel like, honestly, the players got it first. The fans are catching it now. And if you mm-hmm. get around John and you see his winning mentality, it's going to be hard not to get excited. What I do love is Ball. I love get him the damn ball. You know, he's going to. I feel like this is a loaded wide receiver room. And then more importantly, all the returning production on defense. I'm not saying Florida is just going to be God's gift to football this year, but this is a dark horse for a run.
Oh, Ryan Kirk gave us a donation. Shane, cheers, gentlemen. Is it September yet?
Not yet, but I tell you what, there's a couple of people probably surprised that I haven't mentioned Texas A&M. As low as I've been on them, I've got them sitting at the 8 spot. So this is kind of that 8-9 game, win total, if you will.
Right.
I feel like whenever you're looking at Texas A&M, Marcel Reed, not a huge believer, but, and I don't know if it's all the Texas A&M present that's around here, but.
I don't know if you just noticed, Shane, like, I guess they're just letting anybody up here now.
Yeah.
You see that guy? He's like checking us out.
I know. Hitting buttons, grabbing cameras and shit, singing. Is it legend back here?
I'm sorry. That was really weird.
I try to stay focused, man. I can't do it. It's like me talking at a restaurant and I'm seeing my fajitas come this way, you know? I'm like, yeah. But I get sidetracked easy. But Texas A&M's another one that's moved up on the list.
Shot that A&M could make, I know you got them low, so you're not projecting them as a playoff, but, you know, if a thing or two break right, that they could make the playoff?
Well, I told you, this is kind of the 8-9 area, right? We're talking, there are going to be some 9-3 teams.
Yeah.
And Texas A&M, you can make the argument based off the schedule that they should be one of them, but this comes down to one single game, Mike. This comes down to one game that probably A&M didn't think they were going to lose, but they did. And I feel like that's what's going to happen in this situation.
All right, so who's after A&M?
A&M, we're in the 7 spot. LSU Tigers. Oh. We're kind of getting into the playoff talk here. This is the bubble. Lane Kiffin's picking.
But Hulk Hogan, Shane.
I'll tell you. I think Hogan would be happy with 7 right here, you know, based on what LSU's got to face, especially right out of the gate. My concern with LSU is the start of the season. All this newness, right?
Yeah.
It looks pretty on paper, but let's face it, Dabo is fighting for his life, and I'm not saying that's going to be the game, but you look at LSU going there, then going to Oxford. LSU has a gauntlet right out of the gate. And those, if there's any trip ups along the way, one could easily lead to two. And then all of a sudden, this could be kind of like last year's Texas, a team that caught fire when it was too late. I could definitely see that with LSU.
Let me ask you this, Shane, because there's a lot to be said about Lane Kiffin, and we've said it all, right? But something just occurred to me. The fact that he's not on social media, he's going against his nature.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any chance where I get it? I get why you'd want to do that, but his nature got him to where he's at.
Yeah.
Now he's going against it. $50 million roster, championship or bust. It's almost like, okay, you've done all this stuff to become an elite coach, which he is.
Yes.
He's an elite coach and build this roster and that. And now he's changing things up like, well, buddy, how about you just be who you are?
Yeah.
Like, couldn't you see that almost blow up in his face to try to change everything?
A little bit. But one thing that Lane Kiffin is so good at doing is identifying what is working on the team or what could work on the team and then exploiting it, you know?
Yeah.
It's easy to sit here and say, well, Sam and Trey Des, they're going to be, you know, this is going to happen. This is what this team's going to look like. But you don't know that. If this running game gets going, guess what? LSU becomes a running team, becomes a slower team, you know? So if I were picking some of a new hire to win a national championship first, it's Lane Kiffin, without a doubt. So, and I'm not removing it from the table this year. I just feel like that 7 spot, again, we're kind of at that bubble range. That's where we're at. So
hey, shout out G's, Shane. Just give us $20. Appreciate you, G's. Was always more of a Roddy Piper fan myself. He says, did Miss Beamer bring any cookies?
Actually, I did talk to Beamer about that, and he says if you make it over there, and which I'm planning on doing that, he said he'd get me some. So nice. I will keep you posted on that. All right. Now we're talking playoffs, Mike.
Yeah.
I think if you make it in the top six in the SEC, you deserve a playoff spot. This team I had out so long. In fact, I feel bad for all the people I talked to first 2 days because I think I told them this is the team I feel like comes down to earth quicker than most, but I may be wrong. I like these Ole Miss Rebels, Mike. Trinidad Chambliss, Lacey, yes, they're getting all the storylines, but more importantly, the defense love that I'm hearing. And especially with Pete, you pair that together. I mean, he went out. He had the keys. He had a blank checkbook, and he could build his roster, his defensive roster. It's exactly what he did. I don't think I gave it enough respect. I like Ole Miss. In fact, I hate that I put them down this low. But coming into this thing, I had them probably about the 10th spot, really. That's how far I thought they were going to drop. Not so fast, my friend. Ole Miss is going nowhere.
Big Pete Golding fan over here.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know. Ole Miss are pissed probably that I'm talking six. But, brother, I'm telling you, if you finish the season, Ole Miss finishes the season 9-3 at the sixth spot, they deserve a spot in the playoffs.
Yep. All right, who's number five?
Number five. This one is going to surprise you because everybody's like going through the list. Wait a minute. Shane did not mention South Carolina yet. Oh, the Beamer bump. You know who did come to the table? Shane Beamer. And I don't know, man.
Wow, so this is like a 9-3, 10-2?
Yeah, this is a big year. Big year. I love this defense.
Maybe.
I think Lenore Sellers-Briles connection cannot be talked about near enough. In fact, when I'm doing the ballot that we're talking about who potentially could win a Heisman, if South Carolina goes 10-2, give me Lenore Sellers for a Heisman candidate. That's how big I think this will be. This offense was constructed around him, but it is a player-led program, a coach-led program, and because they're family, and they're fighting for their damn life over there in Columbia, South Carolina, and I believe in you, Shane Beamer, wherever you're at, Shane Beamer.
Cousin Kyle. Shane and Shane at it again. Yeah.
See, you can't get two Shanes together. You never know what will happen.
All right, number four.
Number four, my Tennessee Vols. I got the four spot.
Have I finally convinced you?
You finally convinced me.
Right? It wasn't hard, was it?
No, I was kind of there anyway. I had him on the bubble, but, dude, Josh Heupel running around here with a pep in his step. Now, I know a lot of that probably had to do with DGG coming to a school, but I think there's also just a quiet confidence with Josh Heupel, knowing that, hey, we're better. We're better on defense. We're going to be better on offense. You're thinking, hey, we lost Aguilar. How's that even possible? Listen, brother, this is a running team, and they got a crop full of them. Bishop's going to break the record. I think the defense is much improved, deep linebacker department. So, yeah, this is a team that if you were to ask me who's got the easiest schedule, Tennessee Vols got the easiest schedule the way it's set up.
I'm worried about my – I wish she put him down the list. I'm thinking about removing Tennessee as a playoff team now.
No, don't do it, man. Let's ride this wave until we can't ride it no more. So number three, give me Oklahoma Sooners.
Boomer.
Boomer Sooners. So now we're getting into our 10-2s. I love this football team. Absolutely love it. You know why? Because I keep comparing it to Indiana. I say, hey, how was Indiana successful? Oh, they ran a good defense. They had some veterans. They had a quarterback that would give his life for his football squad. Guess what? Oklahoma has that too.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. Some people are saying Oklahoma has the toughest schedule in the country. But you know who's got a tougher schedule? Anybody that has to face these bastards. This is a tough program. I am bought all the way in. Boomer Sooner.
And you know what's nice, Shane? Again, I know usually like 1-2 we're picking for SEC championship. Last year, Ole Miss didn't play in the championship, mm-hmm. SEC championship. They went further than anybody. So yep. Tennessee, Oklahoma, these teams, even though they may not be at the top of the preseason poll, doesn't mean they can't go the furthest and possibly even win the national championship.
That's correct, man. That is absolutely correct. And I feel like they're sitting in a good spot, man. A lot of people came over and want to talk about Red River and Michigan. I feel like after that Michigan game, people are going to realize real quick that this program is better than they were last year.
Okay, so number two, who you got?
Number two, I got the Texas Longhorns. What? They're supposed to be number one, right?
Steven's never speaking to you again.
Nope. Never going to get over here. Hey, number two, what? You lose in the SEC championship is basically what that means.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that they don't win a national title. I just, 2 years in a row, man. I told you, it's like roulette. If red keeps hitting, I'm going to keep betting red, you know. So until orange hits, I ain't going to bet it. So that's kind of where I'm at. I do think that this is a program that finally has what's needed to make that national title run. I love everything on it. So many first-round draft picks on this football team, Mike. This is almost one that you kind of make on a video game, you know what I'm saying? And going to be some fun football games. But I do think that there's a little slip-up probably in the SEC championship, maybe one game during the season.
But do you think it's fair, though? You know how we say, like, A&M's got a Texas problem. Oklahoma's got a Texas problem.
Yeah.
Texas has a Georgia problem.
They do. And that's why Georgia's sitting at the top dog.
The dogs.
That's right, man. I told you, there's something. It's body language for me, you know, Kirby Smart. I mean, he comes in here and he doesn't really say much anyway, but I feel like it's just kind of trickled down to the football team. Yeah. I mean, Gunner in here, he's like, dude, let's get this job over with. I got shit to do. You know,
I gotta go fix my truck.
What time are we getting out of here? Yeah. You know, so I feel like the dogs.
It was like an old business trip. Remember how they used to, when a team would go down to the national championship?
Yeah.
We're not here to mess around. We're here on a business trip.
Business.
That's what it felt like for them dogs, didn't it?
That's exactly what it was. We're here to do a job. We got to get back. You're cutting into practice time. That's what it felt like. These guys live, eat, breathe, you know, everything college football. But it's the disrespect, right? Nobody talked about them dogs winning a national title. Everybody want to talk about them Longhorns. So I feel like Kirby's got him enough ammunition. He's not going to get on this show because I got the dogs finishing number one.
And shout out Nolo. Even Hulk Hogan would have called BS. Great question, Mike. Nice list, Shane. Keep us off the number one. Welcome.
Hell yeah. Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, final closing thoughts here, Shane. SEC Media Days in down in Tampa. Before they close us up here, they're boarding up everything.
Yep. It's talking season, and it's coming to an end, Mike. They're showing up to camp here next week. We're going to just say your little prayers that you guys stay healthy and nobody gets hurt, you know. And honestly, Mike, I feel like this is SEC's year. I do, man. As I'm going through here, it felt like years past, especially the last 3 years, that we're picking one or two. Like, this team or this team, they can win a national title. I think if we can get into the playoffs, which will be the hardest part, right, because we're going to be beating each other up. But as long as we can get three or four teams into the playoffs, one of those is going to walk out a national title winner.
Yeah, and shout out JP. Should be a great season. He gave us a donation, Chad. Thank you, JP.
Thank you, cuz. Appreciate it.
All right, and then we've said it. I'll continue to say it. Stay locked into the channel. We got so many interviews dropping in the days, weeks, almost said months to come, you know, but really just the next couple of days, because I'll try to get them out as quick as I can, but we literally have probably about 40 to get through. So
wouldn't that be the move? Like, we didn't do any interviews. We just
tried the food. Yeah, we're just here for the food.
Yeah, we've been looking for Hogan's boat down here.
You know, if you eat enough food at that, because it's like a buffet style.
Yeah.
If we ate enough, now it would take a lot. Yeah. If we ate enough, it'd probably be worth the money to travel and pay and do all that. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Could you imagine? Yeah. No, I couldn't. That would be bad. Yeah. You could probably, it would take some work.
A lot of sodas.
That, I would have to steal, because I've been stealing some of the waters at night, you know, so I'd have some in the room, because they're $10 a bottle back in the hotel room.
Yeah. I didn't touch those.
I did one, sorry. It was first night. I didn't, you know.
It says a giant thing on it. This cost X amount.
I was dying. I had to take medicine, you know.
There's what I've been drinking out of the faucet.
Yep, a faucet. Yeah. No wonder you're sniffing and coughing, you sick bastard.
That's probably why. I wasn't sick before I was drinking out of the faucet.
Exactly.
All right, so that's going to do it from SEC Media Days down in Tampa. Going to wrap this shit up, and then we're going to head home, and I'll get them out as quick as I can. Probably the first one will be Friday evening. because we're not leaving till tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
All that transit and all that. But anything else, buddy, before we head out?
No. Thank you all. Thank you, again, Tennessee Legend, for everything you've done for us. And I'm looking forward to a wild, wild football season. I can't wait to do it with you guys. So keep those notifications on. Like Mike said, we got some wonderful, wonderful content heading your way. And if you don't mind, hit that thumbs up on the way out. It means the world to us.
A lot of interviews with people we've never had on the show, which is kind of cool, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've got some new voices. That's awesome.
Yep. All right, that's going to do it. We'll catch you on the next one.
See you guys. Go ball.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.